An excellent example of branding our brain was the Black Hole of Calcutta. The British East India Company had become a little pushy, and the Nawab of Calcutta, whose territory they were infringing upon, decided to push back by stuffing a bunch of Englishmen into a small room on a hot Bengal night. A number of them died. No one knows how many. The numbers were inflated to make it appear even worse than it was. The British East India Company knew how to spin the English press by calling the Indians barbaric and demanding retribution. They could justify their invading and conquering the entire subcontinent. And to this day, the Black Hole of Calcutta is branded into our brains.
Clarify this for me, Futz. You said Lady Windermere and the Tsarina were good friends, but when it was revealed that the Russians were plotting with the Huns to divide up the world, didn't this make the Tsar's empire appear slightly evil?
No, of course not, Calcutta. You know that history is always edited. So with a little snip-snip, the Ruskies appeared as though they rejected the offer, and von Snipp was branded as the man.
Who will stop at nothing?
Exactly.
Sir Basil Hounder of Scotland Yard, do come in.
Thank you, Lady Chatterley.
Tea, Basil?
Yes, please. I've come on a rather delicate matter. Your superior, Lord Wellington, has been cavorting with a woman by the name of Marlena Blitzkrieger.
The German spy, I know.
Oh, you know.
One lump or two, doesn't everyone?
Two.
I assume Lord Wellington has told you that he's merely stroking her for all the information he can squeeze from her.
Ah, yes, it could be put that way.
And you fear that Blitzkrieger, who I understand is one hot crowd, is pumping Sir Boots for all he's worth.
Boots assures me that he's been feeding her misinformation.
And she is doing the same for him. Is there a problem?
He believes everything that she's told him. In fact, we've acted upon it.
You mean that hideous, though I must say humorous, monumental painting of Queen Victoria with moustache and Van Dyke on the white cliffs of Dover?
Blitzkrieger told Lord Wellington it was King Ferdinand of Spain who commissioned the painting.
I know.
Lady Chatterley, you and your Pinkerton pranksters doctored photos of the King of Spain prancing nude with the Vienna Boys Choir.
It was convincing, wasn't it?
It was slanderous.
But Basil, that's what we do.
Do you ever consider the repercussions? This could mean war.
We're not going to war with Spain. I mean, not again, or certainly not at this moment. In fact, it was the Belgians who got blamed.
Spain has demanded an apology. If they don't receive it, they may attack Belgium.
Well, Belgium is certainly not going to apologize for something that we did.
But
calm down, Basil.
Don't you see this is the work of Professor von Snipe?
The man who will stop at nothing?
Blitzkrieger is von Snipe's protege. She is a key component in von Snipe's nefarious department of doom and gloom.
Basil, what do you want me to do?
Talk to Lord Wellington.
Oh, it's hopeless. Marlene Blitzkrieger is holding his nuts.
So Sir Boots is lost? He's finished?
I can recommend a nice sanitarium.
Ah, so that was when Sir Boots was put away.
No, not yet. It was at this point that the Contessa Rosalina Catalina Chianti arrived in Paris on the midnight Zeppelin from Milan.
The Contessa? The infamous Italian femme fatale?
Also known as Deglo Red.
No! Surely that cannot be, Futz.
We weren't aware of that at the time.
Contessa Rosalina Catalina Chianti's Deglo Red?
The Contessa was a spy for the Vatican.
Cowpatter,
the fall of Rome was a myth. Rome never fell, it was simply taken over by the church. Now, also arriving in Paris on that midnight Zeppelin was the Blackamoor.
Do you mean Sultan Abdullah Ocman Orban Man?
The same Sultan who the Coochie Man had impersonated back in London.
The Coochie Man and his great white robot were still in Paris?
Oh, yes, and also in Paris were Lady Windermere, the Tsarina of Russia, Professor Ludwig von Snipp, Marlena Blitzkrieger, Sir Boots Wellington, Sir Basil Hound, and of course the Sultan and the Contessa Rossellini Cantalina Chiantes, who, as we now know, is Deglo Red.
This is beginning to sound like a French farce.
It was farcical, except when the final curtain came down, we found ourselves at war.
But wasn't the war quite lucrative for you, Futz-Futz? I mean, with those strange steam-powered weapons of destruction that you'd invented.
Creating contraptions to send thousands of souls off to purgatory was not something I particularly enjoyed, Calpotter. But back to our story. The one key player not in Paris at that time was Lady Chatterley of the Pinkerton Pranksters.
But you said she was responsible for launching the war.
She did not have to be in Paris to make her presence felt.
Do you have footage of the Paris fiasco? Was it documented by Lady Windermere's recording cylinder that you'd installed in her brass bustle?
It was, but also at that time, I too was in Paris.
There were a number of devices of destruction invented for the not-so-great war, but wasn't one of the more positive inventions the computer?
Our early computers were monsters. They were the size of steam calliopes. In fact, for our early prototypes, we used steam calliopes. Our very first prototype was called the Hooter. It was hardly more than an adding machine that let out a burst of steam and howl every time you press the key.
The early steam-driven mainframes were monstrous, but weren't you also credited with the invention of the first portable prototype?
I was. We developed the portable personal computer by adding wagon wheels beneath the calliope, and over time we were able to mute the howling. And that, in fact, radically changed our style of writing.
In what way?
Well, the words we chose were less shrill, less discordant.
Cacophonous?
Yes. There were many things invented for the not-so-great war, many we are still living with today, and some, I'm sad to say, will never go away.
So, Lady Windy, you got your snapshots of Von Snipely's map?
I did. In fact, it was in the papers this morning. Did you see it?
Oh, yeah. When I was sitting in the Café Cruncher on the croissant, everyone was talking about it.
And what was their reaction?
People had the feeling there's going to be a war.
I'm afraid I may have aggravated things, Coochie.
Well, you never know how things are going to go.
How long will you be in Paris?
Maybe another day.
Do you know who arrived last night on the midnight zeppelin? The Sultan.
You mean Abdullah Akman Arubanman? The real Blackamoor?
The same.
What's he doing in Paris?
We believe he's meeting with Professor Von Snipe.
Oh, man.
Them two knows I am personally the Sultan. When Snipey tells him I'm in town, that Sultan is going to come looking for the Coochie Man. I think it's time I go back on down to Dixie.
Coochie, I need just one little favor.
No, no, no. It's time I shuffle on off to Sweet Home, Louisiana.
Hear me out, Coochie, please.
Lady Wendy, I know you want to sell us go with that blackamoor, but that Sultan travels with an entourage, and I know some of those servants are assassins.
But Coochie...
When they eat that hashish, they are fearless. I think it's time for me and Mr. Cracker to put on our pants and just tiptoe on out of here.
Nothing will happen to you, Coochie.
I love Paris.
But I got a franchise of juke joints down south. It's time I stoke up the great white robot and we steam on out of here.
All I'm asking...
Plus, there's going to be a war. Man, I can smell it. Smells musky. It's like fear and intercourse. I don't know why they go together, but it's too crazy for Coochie.
All right. I appreciate all you've done. Goodbye, Ian. Hoochie coochie man.
So long, my Lady Windy. You be good now.
That was rather touching.
Yes, it was. But things didn't work out as planned for the Coochie Man.